We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
This night is one of my favorite nights. Absolutely one of my favorite nights, because we get to just take a moment and talk about the birth of Christ. You know, when I think about Christmas, if we read through the Bible, we realize that when the Old Testament ends in Malachi, there's this huge silence. For over 400 years, God doesn't speak anymore. He's silent. It's a very dark time. And when we understand that when Jesus came and fulfilled all of the prophecies that were written about him, it was like light entering the world. It was a very dark time, yet light came into the world. And what I love is that Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, all of them, they were proof to the scripture. They were fulfillment of prophecy. And as we begin reading the Christmas story tonight, I want to start in the prophetic words found in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, starting in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What's amazing about those words is Isaiah spoke these words hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. See, when we read the scripture, we just come to realize how accurate these words were all those years before. And it reminds me of how amazing our God is. You know, in this world, we have this, there's a lot of difficulty and there's a lot of reason to question things. But what I've come to realize is God has made this perfect map back to himself. And in the midst of this dark world that we live in, he's created this beautiful kaleidoscope. As we begin to read through the scriptures and we begin to see the scriptures fulfilling themselves, it begins to build even more faith and trust in who God is. And I want to challenge you tonight. If you feel like, man, I don't know if God is still real. I don't know if he cares. I don't know if he even remembers me. God has never been closer. See, Christmas is about God becoming man. He became us to save us. And so as we read through these scriptures, let's just remember that God did the ultimate thing by truly walking in our shoes, not just to say he did it, but to show us how and where to go from here. As we flip over to Luke chapter 1, it says in verse 26, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" You just look at the 100 years later when this angel comes back, this angel comes back, Gabriel, and he says all of the words that are to fulfill exactly what we read about in Isaiah. It's amazing. As we jump into chapter 2, it shifts from the light being revealed to the earth, because that all the prophetic words were about the light that was going to come into the earth. But then there's a shift where we start reading about Jesus actually coming to earth, and that's when the world actually receives it. So this is the moment where light is received. It says in Luke 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" What is this good news? That's exactly what the word gospel means. When we talk about the gospel of Christ, it's the good news. What is the good news? We go on to read, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger." The good news is that the one that had been spoken of for all of these years, the ones that the prophets have been prophesying about, the Messiah, he had finally come, and that was good news. Come on, let's sing together, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful." In this moment, I want us to go ahead and why don't you take out your candle? I've been fighting the modern LED candles forever because I believe that we will not burn this house down. So would you please prove me right? what we're going to do is at the end of every aisle, the host team is going to light the furthest candle. Do not take your flame and reach it across women's hair. In fact, the person that has the flame lit, keep your flame upright, and the person next to them will lean into the candle, and they will light. I promise this wax will be all over you if you decide to tilt your candle. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, in a way, our mission is exactly what the shepherds were told to do. We were told to go and behold Jesus, to worship him, and to go and tell everybody we know about what he's done for us, who he is. And I don't know what's going on in your world, but what I do know is that in the same way there was no room for Jesus in the inn, many people have made the decision to have no room for him in their life. In the same way that Jesus wasn't accepted in the high places and in the nice spaces, that still happens today. What I love about our Savior is he comes humbly, and he comes to every heart that's willing and that's open. You know, you may feel like your life stinks like the manger. Jesus will come if you'd let him. I love that our God, he's willing to meet us where we are. A lot of churches would say, "You've got to get your act together." A lot of people that claim Christ would say, "You need to get your act together and then you can come." But Jesus didn't even arrive that way. Jesus was willing to come wherever and whenever. And I promise you, if you are willing to open your heart today, you don't need to get right for Jesus. If you could get right on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus. He came to save those that were in need of saving. I'm one of those. And you know, I think before we even move any further, I just want to take a moment for you to consider your world, your life, your heart. Because the Bible says that we're not perfect. We're far from it. And we needed Jesus because of our fallen states. And I'm thankful that he didn't need us to get right before he came. He didn't need us to clean anything up. He was willing to come in our darkness. He was willing to come in our despair. He was willing to come while we were dirty. And today, while we're all sitting here together, I want you to bow your heads, not into your flame. I want you to close your eyes, remembering you have fire in your hands. But in this very moment, why don't you take account of your life? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgiven you? Ask for forgiveness. You say, Chad, I don't know if I'm eligible. I promise you, sinless blood covers everything. And that's what Jesus offered us. So rather than just celebrating another holiday season, rather than just celebrating Christmas for what we've made it, what if we all take into account our hearts? Have we made room in our hearts for Christ? So today, if you're saying, you know what? I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to know that I've made room for him. I want to receive his forgiveness. I want to experience his grace. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and that we confess with our lips that Jesus is who he says he is and that he did what he says he did for us, we don't have to understand it all, but we do have to put feet on faith. With every head bowed in this moment, if you say, Pastor Chad, pray for me. I'm not going to stand you up. I'm not going to call you to the front. I wouldn't want to embarrass you for the world. But what I do want to do is give you an opportunity to get right with Jesus. And if that's you, just quickly in this moment, while no one else is looking around, just slip up your hand. I already see hands going up back there. There's hands there. Come on, if that's you, just slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor Chad. I see that hand there. I see that hand there and there and there. More importantly, God is seeing the heart attached to that hand. You can put your hand down, but church, can we repeat this prayer together? Let's say, God, I thank you that you love me so much, even in my state. You chose to send your son to die for me so that my sins could be forgiven and my shame could become obsolete. I'm not perfect, but I do give you my heart. I give you my life. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I get so excited, but we have fire in our hand. I'm gonna ask no one to clap for the sake of our insurance. But what I am gonna do is just tell you I am doing backflips right now in my mind about how excited I am for those people that chose to get right. And of all seasons, welcoming Christ. Whew, so good. But let's continue reading, shall we? What I love about the story of Christmas is it happens in the manger, but Jesus didn't stay in the manger. It's important for us, as much as we love little 8-pound, 5-ounce baby Jesus, to remember that he lived a life worth following. Once we receive the light that came to the earth, we were called to reflect the light. And we read of this in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So many of those that made that decision tonight chose to step out of darkness and into the exact light and life of Christ, the way that he's speaking of today. We go on to read in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. Who is he speaking to? This is Jesus speaking to those that believe in him. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe God's greatest prayer. The Bible says that Jesus, he stands at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes. He prays for you and I. And I believe his prayer is that we would truly reflect him. You know, I oftentimes pray, God, do not let them see me. Let them see you in me. God, don't let them hear my words. Let them hear your words through me. If we forget anything about tonight, let us remember that what Jesus did, he did once and for all, but not for it to be the end, so that we would become the reflection of all that he did to the end of the ages and the end of the world. Can we sing another song? Come on, let's stand to our feet as we close this service. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for sending your son. We thank you for doing what we couldn't do, Jesus. We celebrate your birth because of all that your birth ushered into this world, because of what your birth brought to our life, Lord God. We're thankful for what you're doing in the hearts of the people here. We're thankful that you didn't leave us, that you didn't forsake us. God, Emmanuel, you are with us. We're so thankful, and as we prepare to leave tonight, we pray that we would leave with a heart a little lighter and a heart a little brighter. In Jesus' name we pray. We have a lot to be joyful for. Come on, we're going to sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world.
behalf of Pastor Julie, myself, and all of Metro Church staff and crew and choir and everybody, we want to just thank you so much for coming and celebrating the birth of Jesus with us. In this moment, I'm going to pray that you do this right so we all don't light the church on fire. Why don't you not burn yourself? And come on, let's all blow the candle out. Don't worry, the party is not over. We have hot cocoa in the back, live music in the back. Come on, we're so appreciative. Let's remember what Christmas is about, and let's go shine our lights.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.